passion, his plea, his desire is that you and me be with him. He talks about a special group, that this group be with him. Who is this group? He says it right there in the Bible, right there in the text. He said, the group, dear Father, that you have given me. It's the disciples. It's the Christians. It's the saved folks. It's the disciples. Now, this is a review again. If you are a true disciple, you might want to take this litmus test. If you are a follower of Christ, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, these are some of your characteristics. These are some of the things that should be coming out of your life. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to walk in holiness. If you belong to Jesus, you have a desire to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we miss the mark sometimes. We sin, we mess up. But even when we sin, God said, if you just confess your sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But true disciples, they are not worldly, but they bear fruit. We look different from the world, not thinking we're better than anybody else, but we look different from the world. Jesus even said, if you hang out with me, you're going to not just bear fruit, but you're going to bear much fruit. A great benefit of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is that we are protected and our salvation is secure. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are protected. Your salvation, your eternal destination is secure. It's a done deal. Another great benefit, and there are many, another great benefit of being with Christ is that you are being prayed for by Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who we just sang about, he prays for the follower of Christ. So if you're not following Christ, today is a good day. Today is a day, say, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to make sure that I spend eternity with you. Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm walking with you even right now, even right here on planet Earth. Another thing about true disciples, we talked about this last week, they seek to foster and to keep unity in the body of Christ. A true follower of Christ, their desire is to live in unity, live in harmony with their brothers and sisters in Christ. So I ask this question. Are you in this group? Are you in this group called disciples, this group called followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or more importantly, you might be saying, how do I become a disciple? How do I become a follower of Jesus Christ? It's in the text. That's a very good question. Look, it's simple. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Here it is. Very simple. In a nutshell, if you're not sure if you're following Christ or not, if you're not sure that you're in the body of Christ, here it is. Real simple. The Bible says that Christ came and died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He hung on Calvary's cross. He was buried according to the scriptures. But then he rose again according to the scriptures with all power in his hands. And Jesus said, all we need to do is come to him, repent, go in a different direction, turn away from sin and turn to him. Confess with our mouth, Jesus as Lord. Confess that, hey, I have sinned, I have messed up, and you will be born again. It's an agreement with God. It's an agreement with God. Hey, I've messed up in my life. I've done some things I should not have done. How many of us in here this morning have done some things that we should not have done? I'm raising both of my hands. If I wasn't standing up, I'd put my leg up in there. We all have done some stuff that we should not have done. Maybe mama might not have known it. Big mama might not have known it. Daddy might not have known it. But God knows it. But even as it was prayed earlier by the preacher, Minister Terman, even when we were dead, even when we were messed up, God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who else does that? Christ died for us even though we were messing up. Only our Lord and Savior can do that. Only our Lord and Savior has done that. And so he's praying even right now to God the Father. Say, Lord, I want them to be where I am. I want them to be where I am. And he says, Father, the ones you have given me, the ones that you have pulled and drugged and tugged on, maybe even this morning, maybe the Lord is tugging on your heart even this morning. I'm glad the Lord, back in August of 92, I'm glad he pulled on my heart. I'm glad he drew me to himself. And guess what? He had been drawing me even before then. But I'm glad at least then I had sense enough to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, he draws us. He draws us nearer and nearer to him. He draws sinners to himself. He sends his Holy Spirit to convict the sinner of their sins. He calls the sinner to look to Christ, who is his sin bearer, and say, Lord, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. God draws. I say, God draws. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? God draws. He draws us. He draws us with his loving kindness. He patiently draws us. But he draws us. He draws us through the word of God. He draws us through the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He draws us through circumstances. He draws us through friends. He summons us out of darkness. He beckons us. He bids us to come out of darkness into this marvelous light. Aren't you glad you don't have to walk around in darkness anymore? I said, you don't have to walk around in darkness anymore. I fumbled around in darkness for about 30 years of my life. So I'm glad I see better now. Even though I still had to use these readers every now and then, but I see better now. I'm glad I'm no longer in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light. He is the light. He's the only way that can change your destination from hell to heaven. We all need to know him. If he can cancel eternal destination from hell to heaven, I need to be close with him. So God draws. He draws us from the guttermost and takes us to the uttermost. He draws, he draws, he draws, and then he presents us to his son. It's right in the text, it's right in the Bible. Jesus said, those that you have given me, dear Father. So it's like we're in the midst of a great love relationship between God the Father and God the Son. We needed to be redeemed. Somebody needed to die for us. And the son said, Father, I'll go. So Jesus came down through 40 and two generations, born of a virgin Mary, lived a perfect sin-free life, went to Calvary's cross, died for your sins and my sins. And then Christ came and died. And then God the Father said, okay, son, since you died for them, I'm going to give them to you as a love offering. We are the recipients. We are in the midst of a great love relationship between God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, those whom you have given me, Father, I want them to be with me. I want them to be with me. Father, let them be with me. This morning, he's inviting you to his house. Even right now, you might say, well, where is his house? He has ascended back into glory. He's seated even right now at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you and for me. Praying that we can make it through this day. Praying that we can make it through tomorrow. Praying that we can make it through next week, next month. He is a great provider. He watches over us. You know, Christ, you know, God, we don't have to wait. Well, when I get to heaven, then that's God. No, right now. Getting to know the Lord right now. Getting to know God right now. That begins eternity. That begins heaven even right here on earth. Even in the midst of calamity and chaos, we can still find peace and joy in the Lord. It's a lot of stuff going on. I got this little app on my phone. As soon as I wake up, good, all kind of little news feeds be popping up. I'm going to have to maybe disable that thing. All kind of stuff be popping up. Crazy stuff that's been happening. People getting shot, this and that. Storms. It's a lot of rough stuff going on out there. I said, it's a lot of rough stuff going on out there. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of chaos, Jesus can give you peace even in the midst of a storm. He can give you, he still controls the storm. I said, he controls the storm. I can handle the storm if I'm sure who controls the storm. So Jesus controls the storm. God controls the storm. And he is inviting us to join him here on earth and in heaven. We're going to put this on the screen. John chapter 14. Jesus was kind of prepping his disciples before he prayed in John chapter 17. This prayer, by the way, he prayed just on the Thursday night before he went to the cross on that following Friday, that next day. But listen, as he was getting ready to go in John chapter 14, he was getting ready to go. Just follow me as I'm going to read this. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. And so Jesus said it in John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he said, I go. This is what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and he did go, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That sounds like an invitation from Jesus to me. And receive you to myself. That where I am, that's what Jesus said, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what he's telling the disciples, Peter and James and John and those guys, Thomas. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. And then this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. That's what he said. He said, y'all know where I'm going. Y'all know the way. Y'all know how to get there. Y'all know where I'm going. I love one of the disciples, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas, I can see him right now raising his hand. Wait, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And so we definitely don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going. And then if we did know, we don't have the GPS. We don't have that stuff. We don't know how to get there. So Thomas said, we don't know the way. Oh, but I love what our Lord and Savior said. He didn't leave Thomas hanging. He doesn't leave us hanging this morning. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, okay, since you don't know the way. And many people in society today don't know the way. People are wondering, looking at all different types of things. Maybe this is the way. Maybe this street is the way. Maybe doing this is the way. Keep seeking for all the ways. Here is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. I'm the only way to peace. I'm the only way to joy. He said, I am the way. Jesus is the one who is the Lamb of God, as we sang about. Jesus is the one who is the bread of life. Jesus who is the one who is the life and the resurrection. Jesus who is the one who is the good shepherd. Jesus who is the one who is the great shepherd. Jesus who is the one who can calm a raging sea. Jesus who is the one who can give eyesight to the blind, who can even cleanse the lepers, who can cast out demons. He is the only way. He can even raise folks from the dead. If you're born again today, he raised us from the spiritual death. He raised us from the dead. Jesus, I am the way. Not one of the ways. Not one of the ways. But the only way. I'm here this morning because out of the grace of God and mercy of God, I discovered that he is the only way. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't illicit sex. It wasn't money. It wasn't fame. It wasn't fortune. All that stuff is empty. All that stuff eventually plays out. I found out the only lasting joy, the only lasting fulfillment, the only lasting contentment is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through him. It's only through him. Just take the word of the word of God. Take the word of the preacher this morning, the word of the pastor. Don't try all that other stuff. That other stuff wears out. But Jesus, his joy, his contentment, his presence lasts forever. As a matter of fact, he's even said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. I was blessed by God's grace to be raised in a Christian home and had a good dad, good mom. My mom is 83. She's still living. But my dad, you know, he was a provider. He was a protector. He was there. But, you know, he couldn't make that. I can't make that statement. Say, I would never leave you. Because back in 2001, he had a sudden heart attack at the age of 68. And so he was gone. So you know, he can't say, I will never leave you. But Jesus can say and has said and does say, I will never, no, never leave you. So Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Brother Peter, who's one of the disciples listening to that, he must have really got the message. Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, listen to the words of Peter. He reminds us that there is salvation. There is salvation, getting saved, being born again, headed to heaven rather than hell. There is salvation in no one else. But there is no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. It's only Jesus Christ. I say it's only Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ and joining a church. It's not Jesus Christ and getting baptized. It's not Jesus Christ and doing some good works. It's not Jesus Christ and... No, it's Jesus Christ and Christ alone. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, once we do get saved, we are called to do some works. We do need to do some works, but we're not saved by works. It's a Christian message. It's the best message in the whole world. That we're saved by grace, by God's unmerited favor. That's God giving us some stuff that we don't deserve. And I thank God for his grace, him giving me stuff I don't deserve. But I also thank God for his mercy. Listen to this. That means God has not given me what I do deserve. Somebody missed that. God's mercy. He does not give us what we do deserve. All of us deserve to be eternally separated from him. But God, being rich in mercy, has not given us what we do deserve. So I thank God for his grace and his mercy. I like what the psalmist said in Psalms 23. David, as he talks about the great shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. Then he said, wait a minute. I keep hearing some stuff behind me. I'm kind of paranoid. I think somebody is following me. And then finally, Psalms 23:6 said, grace and mercy, God's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So yes, if you belong to Christ, it's some stuff following you called grace and mercy. Every now and then we stumble and bump our heads, but guess what? Grace and mercy is right behind him. It's God's great cleanup crew called Grace and Mercy. Grace and mercy. I need God's grace. You need God's grace and mercy. I'm glad I'm a recipient of God's grace and mercy. And all of us are to a certain extent. I mean, God is so good. Listen to this. Even person, you know, as a Christian, we do have a special place in God's life. We have a special grace he's given us as a Christian. But even people who are not Christians, even people who are not saved, God is so gracious. God is so good that the Bible has what we call common grace. God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. God allows the sun, S-U-N, to shine on those who are saved and those who are unsaved. That's amazing. He allows all people to breathe his air for free. Even though they might shake their fist at God, God is so good, he still allows them to breathe his air. That's a good God. That's a good God. And that person needs to turn to Christ, because eventually God's grace, God's mercy, if people continue to shake their fist at God, guess what? It has an expiration date. We don't know when that is. I mean, you know, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be when you die, but it has an expiration date. If a person rejects and resists the grace and mercy of God, the free gift of salvation through Christ, eventually will experience the wrath of God throughout all eternity in a terrible place called hell. But Jesus said, God, I want them to be with me. Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And Jesus is in heaven. Apostle John, God allowed him to get a glimpse into heaven. And look what he saw. He looked into heaven. He gazed into heaven. And he said he saw a number that he could not count. People from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Folks from all over. Folks from Chattanooga. Folks from Knoxville. Folks from Little Rock, Arkansas. Folks from New York. Folks from Africa, Russia, China. People from all over. Even an innocent native in the middle of nowhere, God has a way of sending the gospel even to them and getting them saved. John said, I saw a number I could not count. Make sure you're in that number. He said, I saw a number I could not count. Also, the book of Revelation tells us some other things that we can glance into heaven and glimpse and see around the throne of God, around the throne of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even right now, beloved, even right now, you got angels around his throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. They're also saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of your glory. John allows us a glance into heaven. See, here on earth, this is not the end. This is not a period. It's more like a comma or a semicolon. We, you know, this is not the end. We're just passing through. We're all graveyard travelers. Everyone in here this morning, hear me well. Everyone in here this morning is going to spend eternity somewhere. And there are only two options. Heaven. I want to be very clear in my articulation, but very clear in my communicating this morning. Everybody's going to, somebody say everybody. Everybody. Say it like this. Everybody. Everybody. Going to spend eternity. Everybody. All people are going to spend eternity somewhere. Either heaven or hell. Jesus said it this way when he talks about what he has to offer versus what the devil has to offer. He said, the thief, the devil, Satan has come, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life that's to the full, life that's purposeful, and life that's even eternal life. So let's see. I do this every now and then. Let's see. It's a test. We got two options. One option, the devil said he has stealing, killing and destroying. I come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's one option. There's another option. Jesus said, I got another option. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Life that's full and complete and purposeful and joyful. Life that even in the midst of trials, you still can enjoy life with Jesus. Let's see. One option, we got killing, stealing, and destroying. Another option, we got life and life more abundantly. I'm going to help you out. Some of y'all hadn't figured that one out yet. Let me give you one more chance. On one end, we got the killing, stealing, and destroying. And on the other hand, life and life abundant. Oh, let's see. Alex, I'll take B for 100 or whatever. I go with Jesus' way. His way is always the best way. He just told us he is the way. So there are only two options. There are two roads. Minister Terman preached on that earlier this year. There are two roads. writer of the gospel, there's one road that's wide. It's a wide road. Looks kind of enticing. A lot of people own that road. So maybe that's the best way to go. It's a wide road. But that road leads to destruction. But there's another road. There's a narrow road. It leads to Christ, because I get nervous sometimes when I'm going somewhere. A lot of people are going the same direction I'm going. That's usually not the right way. As a Christian, we kind of go against the grain. So there are two options. But all of us, we'll spend eternity somewhere. Listen to this. There's an invitation to the death banquet. And even if you don't RSVP, your appointment can't be canceled. So another little quote. That one I came up with on my own, but I saw another little quote that's really good. I can take credit for that one. I came up with that one on my own. But I did see this one, though. I read this one. This one is good, too. Listen, you and I have a reservation at a cemetery without the privilege of cancellation. We have a reservation at a cemetery without the privilege of cancellation. Got an invitation to the death banquet, and even if we don't RSVP, we still got to go. Somebody said, well, pastor or preacher, that's okay. That's just, y'all came up with that stuff. Well, the Bible says it more clearly. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, appointed to man wants to die, and then the judgment. It's no way around this thing called death. It's no way around eternity. Don't believe that old crazy stuff some people write. You know, there's a thing out there people believe. They call it, not eternal separation with God, but they call it annihilation. That either you, if you're a Christian, you get saved, you go to heaven. But if you're not a Christian, when you die, you just poof, get burned up and it's over. I don't believe that foolishness. The rich man that Jesus talked about, he was in hell. He lifted up his eyes in flames. It's an eternal thing. To try to nail this point on home before I move on. I was watching this little show. I like to watch a lot of old TV shows, you know, the black and white TV show back in the 50s and 60s, like on MeTV or TV Land or something. I like to watch some of the old shows. And so it was a show on, it was just a TV show, but it had a pretty good point that fits in good right here. This lady was traveling across country. And let's say she was on I-75 and she came down through Atlanta and she saw somebody in Atlanta that she's like, oh, okay, saw that person. And she came on up to Chattanooga and saw that same guy. This is a movie now. Saw that same guy in Chattanooga. And then she went on up to Knoxville, saw that same person in Knoxville. So by now she's like, man, is this guy following me? What's going on? Then she went on over into Virginia and stopped somewhere, saw this same guy. So she's getting really, really concerned at this point. And so she drove a little further and she actually saw this same guy on the side of the road hitchhiking. And so that really startled her. But then she drove on about 5 or 10 miles, Sister Roxy, stopped at a gas station. And guess what? The guy that she just saw hitchhiking was at the gas station. She's like, how did that happen? So she's really nervous. So she hurry up and put a little gas in the car, jumped back in her car, driving in her car, and y'all know the rest. She looked in her rearview mirror. And lo and behold, that joker was in her back seat. And so, of course, that shocked her. That startled her. And she said, who are you? Who are you? He kind of smiled. He said, my name is Death. And you've been running from me, but you can't get away from me. And sure enough, it was a movie. Now, sure enough, Twilight Zone. That's right. Thank you. She's seen the movie. She's seen the movie. And sure enough, she got all hysterical and ran off the road and wrecked the car. And, you know, she ended up dying. Although it was a little show, a little movie, it has a true point. You can't outrun death. And that's why Jesus is praying right here in this verse, right here in this chapter 7. He said, Father, they're going to die. When they die, I want them to be here with me. I want them to be in heaven with me throughout all eternity. See, we're just passing through, saints. We're graveyard travelers. You know, 1811 Roanoke Avenue, Love Fellowship Baptist Church, 1811 Roanoke Avenue. But this building won't always be here. It's not going to always exist. I live at 8506 Oakview Drive. That's just my temporary address. Matter of fact, just shout out your address just for a moment. Just shout out wherever you live. Just shout it out right quick. Guess what? That's your temporary address. That's not your true dwelling place. We're just passing through. Matter of fact, I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago. If you might think that's your permanent apartment or permanent house, you missed that note a few months. You missed that note for a few times. You won't be there all the time. But we're just passing through, Brother Vizo. We're just passing through. I'm like Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was looking for that home whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for that permanent home, that permanent place, that place where indeed the wicked would cease from trouble and the weary would be at rest. That place where we're going to get a new body one day. That place where we're going to be away from sin. As a Christian, we got the three P's. Forever, the penalty of sin has been canceled if you're in Christ. We no longer have to spend eternity in hell. So I'm glad the penalty of sin has been canceled. Also in Christ, the other P, the power of sin has been broken over your life. If you follow Christ, you don't have to succumb to sin. Those old habits that always took you down through there, they don't have to take you down through there anymore. You got a new master. Sin is no longer your master. Christ is your master. Then also as a Christian, one day we'll be forever away from the presence of sin. So the penalty of sin has been canceled. The power of sin has been broken. The presence of sin is going to be gone. 5.5 people clapping. You ought to be clapping on that. Paul said it this way. Paul said, for the Christ follower, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul told the Philippian saint, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Yeah, we're headed over yonder. Somebody has a mother over there. I got a daddy over there. Somebody got a brother or sister over there, talking about in heaven. Somebody might have a Sunday school teacher over there. Maybe a school teacher or a coach over there. That's a wonderful place when you think about heaven and going to see the saints of old. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Paul, and all those brothers are over there. The saints of old, and the streets are paved with gold and pearly gates. Heaven is a wonderful place. I say heaven is a wonderful place. But you know, the best thing about heaven, when I think about heaven, the best thing about heaven is God is there. Is Jesus is there. Our Lord and Savior, He's there. So I get to spend eternity with Him, the one who died for me. He's there. So what a blessed thought that is. That is a Christ follower. Sister Bray, you and I get to spend eternity with God. But while we're here on earth, since we're still here on earth, let's be salt and light. While we're here on earth, let's make a difference while we're here on earth. Let's go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that the Lord has commanded us. While we're here on earth, let's be a witness for Christ. While we're here on earth, let's be good ambassadors for Christ. While we're here on earth, let's take the ministry of reconciliation to a dying world. Tell people how they can be made right with a holy God. While we're here on earth, I'm so glad again that we're just moving, passing on. Because one day this earth is going to pass away. You know, because of the fall of man, because of sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, because of just the effects of sin. Romans chapter 8 even tells us that the whole creation itself, the earth itself groans. Basically, when we going to be redeemed? Even creation itself groans. Because check this out. In Genesis chapter 3, before the fall of man, before Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, there were no hurricanes. There were no earthquakes. There were no crazy fires. All that stuff is really just a byproduct of sin. But even in the midst of all that, God is still sovereign. He's still in control of everything. He still has his pulse on what's going on in this world. Are you glad about that? That should bring you some comfort this morning. So Jesus prays again in John 17:24, and I'm almost through. He prayed for us to be with him. Okay, Jesus, why? Why do you really want us to be with you? Why do you want us to be with you? It's in the text. It's in the Bible. Jesus wants us to be with him so that we might fully see his glory. It's right in the text. Father, I want them to be with me that they might see my glory. Earlier in this chapter, as he got ready to go back to heaven, he said, Father, restore to me my glory. Because see, while he was on earth, here's a good little theology lesson. While he was here on earth, he was still God, yet still man. He was deity wrapped up in humanity. So while he was on earth, the disciples, they couldn't fully see his glory. One time when they went up with him to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus lifted himself up into the clouds and began to talk to Elijah and Moses and Peter and them got just a little sneak preview of a little bit of his glory, if you will. But they could not see his total glory. Matter of fact, Moses, who walked closely with God, he wanted to see the glory of God. And Moses gave an awesome, bold request, and it was a good request. And Moses said, God, I want to be as close to you as I can be. He said, I want to be, he said, show me all your glory, God. Show me all your glory. And God said, Moses, if I did that, I basically have to do your eulogy. No man can see me and live. Not in his totality, not in the glory. Can you imagine? God spoke everything into existence. God is an awesome and mighty being. Christ is an awesome and a mighty being. We can't behold his glory in the state that we're in now. But Jesus said, Father, I want them to come to heaven where they can see me in all of my glory, all of my splendor. He said, Father, I want them to be with me. David said this in Psalm 17:15, the desire of every Christ follower is to be able to see Christ better and better, to see him closer and closer, to be closer to the Lord. David said it this way in Psalm 17:15. He said, I shall behold God's face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. David said, when I truly wake up on the other side, then I'm going to see you in your fullness, in your likeness. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:8. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Does anybody want to see God this morning? I mean, anybody want to be with Jesus this morning? Watch this. If you're not seeing him now, if you're not walking with him now, you're not going to be seeing him later. You want to make sure you're walking with him now. Make your calling and your election sure. I don't want no hope so and might so and maybe so religion. I want a know so type of faith. I said, I want a know so type of faith. I'm leaving here one day. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know where I'm going. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says it this way. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Oh, I'm looking forward to that then face to face. As a hymn writer says, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. At an invitation, you're invited to Jesus' house. Hymn writers, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. I want to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all pass. Home at last, ever to rejoice. You know, when I go to the mailbox, I go through that kind of, you get a lot of mail, a lot of junk mail. I'm glad that Tuesday has passed. Man, all this stuff in my nail box, and I'm like, most of them lying anyway. We need to pray for our country. I hope you voted. If you missed it, be sure to vote, pray, and vote for our leaders. The Bible tells us that. But, when you go check that mailbox, sometimes you're going to have some bills in there and stuff. But when we get to heaven, we won't have any bills. We won't have any bills. That'll make somebody say hallelujah right there. No more car note or house note or whatever. No light bill. No water bill. Somebody even said, no more sewage bill. I'm going to hasten on, but people just try to make money always they can. I like the old plan better. We just pay one little bill, a little water, a little sewage. Now they send me two bills. So Jesus said, Father, I want them to be with me that they might see my glory. And this last little phrase, he said, Father, listen. He said, Father, you have loved me before the foundation of the world. See, beloved, I know you know this, but God just didn't show up. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has always existed. Let me say that again. He's always existed. One of the proverbial questions of man is like, where did God come from? Duh, I don't know, but he's always been here. He's always been here. He's always been here. He's God. He's other than. All of us had an origination day. Everything else had a beginning, but God has no beginning. Jesus has no beginning. He always has been, and he always will be. So he not only has no beginning, he has no ending. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end and everything in between. So Jesus said, God, You've loved me even before the foundation of the world. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, once again, he's always existed. That's one of his attributes. He's the eternality of God. He lives forever. He has some other great attributes. I'm going to give you a couple of them. He's an everlasting God. He's also a loving God. He's a saving God. He's a judging God. Here's some P's. He's a patient God. He's a providing God. You might want to write a few of these down. He's a providing God. He's a protecting God. He's a preserving God. He's an abiding God. He hangs out with us. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. Let me say that again. He's an everlasting God. He's an eternal God. He's a loving God. He's a saving God. He's a judging God. He's a patient God. He's a providing God. He's a protecting God. He's a preserving God. He's an abiding God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. An everlasting God. I'm going to say those again. He's a providing God. He's a protecting God. He's a preserving God. He's a saving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a keeping God. We need God on our side. I said, we need God, the God of the Bible, on our side. So Jesus said, Father, you love me before the foundation of the world. Watch this, though. God loves somebody else before the foundation of the world. If you surrendered your life to Christ, if you are the redeemed of God, God loves you. Even before there was a you. He loved you even before the foundation of the world. Once again, I know our little minds can't wrap around that. We don't understand that. But God told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you before I even made you. It's almost like we were in the mind of God. So before the foundation of the world, he loved you. Check this out. Even before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain even before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve even sinned and messed up, God had already mapped all it out. So the Bible says, even before the foundation, behold the Lamb of God who was slain even before the foundation of the world. So God loved you before there was a you. The love of God. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the wrath of God. These things just blow our minds. But Jesus is praying that we would be with him, that we would see his glory, that we would know God, know Jesus in a way that we've never known him before, a way that we can never know him on planet earth. Jesus, I want them to be with me. I want the Redeemer of God to be with me. I want those to be with me. God, once again, loved us even before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 says this way, the blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he being God, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Let me read that again. Blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as God chose us in Christ even before the foundation of the world. If you're born again, if you're saved because God saved you. If you're not saved, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus, he has an invitation to his house. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad, once again, let me get personal for a moment. I'm glad that back in August of 1992, I had sense enough as God pricked my heart to cry out and call out to Jesus Christ, and he saved me. Oh, I had a miserable life. I thought I had a decent life, but I really had a miserable life, but God saved me. I said, God saved me. You don't have to clap, you don't have to say amen, but God saved me. If you belong to him, he saved you too. And if you don't, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Remember, death is coming. Today is the day of salvation. So he chose us, looking at this text, he chose us, he loved us, he chose us even before the foundation of the world. So again, you need to make your calling and your election sure. And see, if you are a follower of Christ, if you've trusted your life to him for when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you can definitely trust him for whatever's going on in your life today. You can trust him for your health concerns. You can trust him with your financial concerns. You can trust him with things that might be going awry on your job. You can trust him with some family issues that are maybe not quite right. You can trust him with all kind of problems that might be in your life and in my life. Matter of fact, we all have problems. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. You will have some trouble in this world. But he said, take courage, for I have overcome the world. I want to keep tracking with the one who has overcome the world. I want to be with him in the good times, because I know the bad times are coming. So I want to be with him in the rough times too. So there's an invitation. An invitation to Jesus' house. Come just as you are. It's not like some invitations. Some invitations have all kind of stipulations, you know. I still haven't quite figured it out. Sometimes you get an invitation, they'd be formal and semi-formal. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to wear a suit. Maybe I might be okay. Some invitations have stipulations, but Jesus says, come just as you are. Just come and say, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to change my direction. God bless you, Jeremiah. I want to change my direction. I was going in the wrong way, but now I want to turn around and follow Christ. I want to go in a different direction. So I'm going to confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, you will be saved. There's nothing magical about walking the aisle and doing those things. You can give your hand to me, the preacher, but make sure you give your heart to God. Make sure you give your heart to Jesus. We're going to sing a little stanza of this hymn, Oh, I Want to See Him. And if you're not sure today that you're going to see him throughout all eternity, you need to come today. We got deacons and ministers who can share the gospel, the good news with you today. Because I thank God that by his grace, I got that invitation to Jesus' house. That's where I'm headed. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Sing this song with us. Oh, I want to see him. The lyrics will be on the screen. Calvary's cross. Oh, y'all are singing like you mean it this morning. But my Lord leads me on, never bother me. Though I want to see him, look up on his name, there to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Goes ahead. Oh, do you want to see him? On the streets of glory, let me live my voice. Can I back home at last? Ever to rejoice. Amen. Amen. This is what we kind of politely call the invitation. If you want to come to give your life to Christ, that was the title of my message this morning. You have an invitation to Jesus' house, invited to his house. You can come now.